Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff, how's it going, man?
I mean, the beauty of live radio, apparently.
Yes. All right, well, now I lost all my flow.
Danny's wondering aloud. Danny's,
you know, the thing is, Danny, that presupposes that you had any to begin with. And let's be honest, if there's something that's going on with you, flow is not it.
That's true. And I saw you rap Wu-Tang Clan on your podcast, so good job by you for following through on that. We'll have you rap.
Not only did I rap Wu-Tang Clan on the podcast, but yesterday, Mike Oz, who is one of my co-hosts, and the purveyor of the baseball card videos, I believe, was opening baseball cards with Meta World Peace. And he showed Meta World Peace the video of me rapping. And I think he did it to get a reaction that was going to be making fun of me and just saying, who's this corny-ass white boy doing this? And at the end of the video, I swear to you, Meta World Peace, who I believe owns a music label, said he's got some flow. So how about that?
So you got that going for you.
See you later. We'll talk to you next week, Jeff. Man, this guy's going to have a bigger head than me soon. But what – I didn't listen to the podcast. I'm sorry. But how
Hold on a second. If you didn't listen to it, then why are we talking about it? I'm serious.
Well, no, I saw the clip. I saw the clip of the rapping. That was fantastic. But people were alerting me and said, I got to talk to you about Chris Bryant not being a superstar. So
right.
You're a smart guy. I want to give you the benefit of the doubt on this one. Who is a superstar and how is Chris Bryant not in that tier?
The more I thought about it, the first week that we discussed this, I had six names. I think Bryce Harper is number one. I had Mike Trout in there. I had Aaron Judge in there. I had Jose Altuve in there. I had Clayton Kershaw in there. And I had Shohei Ohtani in there. And I said Bryant is just on the cusp.
Wait, and Jeff, you know, pump the brakes on Ohtani a little bit.
I'm not pumping the brakes on Ohtani at all. Ohtani is the most interesting person in the game these days, and it's not even close.
But does and interesting that, mean superstar, Jeff?
Yes, and you know what? That's the thing. We failed to define the word superstar at the beginning of the program, and I think that the word superstar is so different for so many people. I don't see the word superstar as an objectively measurable thing. To me, a superstar is a very fleeting thing, too. It's something that is almost moment to moment. And the more I thought about this, the more that baseball has anybody, and I mean anybody, who encompasses your real definition of superstar, which is a guy who to me is known across not just his sporting world but outside of it. Mm-hmm. If that is the definition of it, I don't know that baseball has a superstar. And if I'm erring on the side of something, it's going to be that baseball superstardom is purely local and parochial, and that there are a bunch of superstars, but in terms of guys who have national resonance, there just aren't any.
Well, Chris is dull off the field. I mean, as much as you like to see him hit, he's not a very interesting guy. Is that part of your thinking?
You know, I don't even know if he's that. Like, he is very, he's a good-looking guy, and he's a nice guy, and he's a bright guy. He's got all of the elements that you would think, but I believe that a lot of this comes down to baseball and the way that the game has sold itself, and that the national element just isn't all that important to Major League Baseball anymore. I mean, look, when the All-Star game comes around, yeah, the you know, you get all these great players in the same game, and they try to pump it. And when the postseason comes around, obviously, those games are important. I think the closest Chris Bryant came to being a superstar, interestingly enough, I would say, if you had asked me this question in 2016, is Chris Bryant a superstar? I think I would have answered yes.
Well, yeah, he won the MVP, and the Cubs won the World Series.
Exactly, and that's my point. But the funny thing is, Danny, he's been a better player since then. He was better in 2017 than he was in 2016. He's better in 2018 than he was each of the last 2 years.
Yeah,
so
well,
I'll
tell you this.
To me, and the argument that's being made to me is that his productivity is what makes him. No, I'm sorry. Productivity in baseball does not make you a superstar, because if it did, Joey Votto would have been a superstar a long time ago.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not even mad anymore, because there are no superstars in baseball. If you're doing it by that metric, there are zero superstars in baseball. I just find it funny that, like, carefully crafted journalist, author, award winner, as soon as you get into the mud of the audio medium that is podcast, you're basically doing your own version of the "Is Joe Flacco Elite" conversation. That's what I love. You're just a sellout for clicks.
Now, let me tell you something. This was based on Bill James, actually, because Bill James asked the question, how many superstars are there in baseball? And it generated a bunch of response, and Bill James's argument was that Bryce Harper is not a superstar. And my beef was this: if baseball has one superstar, it is Bryce Harper. He is clearly, to me, the guy at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think he's begun to transcend the game a little bit. Why no Mookie Betts on your list of superstars?
Another guy who I think is on the cusp right now, but I'm not going to take a really hot 6 weeks and say that the guy's a superstar. I just think there's a very subjective threshold that a guy needs to get past, and I just haven't seen it there. And again, if people want to come at me for saying I'm not doing this objectively, I think that's a perfectly fair thing. But There were a couple of Cubs fans out there who tried to do it objectively, and they brought up his Fangraphs page. And I'm like, okay, dude, if you're using his weighted on base average to talk about him being a superstar, you probably should reconsider your argument here. And they brought up jersey sales. And it's like, of course, Chris Bryant sells a lot of jerseys. He's a really good player on the Chicago Cubs. That's a better sign about Cubs fandom to me than it is Bryant being a superstar. And he brought up the Adidas deal. It's like baseball gear, baseball swag, there's no such thing. Having a deal with Adidas doesn't mean anything, and doing a commercial once a year with Red Bull doesn't mean anything. These objective measures don't apply to baseball players. I just don't think they do.
Yeah,
and I think
listen,
so many people get caught in this baseball bubble, particularly fans of these teams, that they can't look outside their own limitations on this.
Yeah, okay, right. But I think that you're right. There are no superstars in baseball, because Jose Altuve could walk down the streets of Chicago and no one would notice him, right?
Correct.
So let's just do it this way. Let's just change the conversation for a second. If Shohei Ohtani and Chris Bryant were both free agents tomorrow, who signs the bigger contract?
Wow. That is a sports radio question, Danny, but that's a good one.
Yeah, bring it to your podcast, buddy.
I think I'm going to now. That's a hell of a question. I think Bryant probably gets more.
Okay,
I think Bryant
so. We're not talking
more,
about value. We're not talking then about how good these baseball players are. You're talking about something else.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't think the value has much to do with it at all. I mean, Manny Machado would sign for more than both of them, and you know, he's not. I don't think Manny Machado's in the conversation.
Got right. I understand. No, then it's a different conversation than I thought you were having. We're talking to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. I should have listened to the podcast.
Thank you.
I loved your gambling and baseball column. Your argument, for anyone who didn't read it, which I did, was basically if baseball embraced the legalization of sports gambling like they should, which is fully, it would be the perfect sport for gambling, because everything is quantifiable. You could bet on, is the next pitch a ball or strike? How many times will this guy get on base? Over and unders? How long will a pitcher last? Everything's quantifiable, so everything could be bet on. That could be done in a stadium, could help attendance, interest ratings, etc. Do you think baseball will fully embrace it as you've suggested?
I think baseball started to already. I mean, it's in bed deep with DFS. And to me, it's like, if you're trying to deny daily fantasy as gambling, your head's down in the sand or you have a stake in it. Simple as that. And Major League Baseball has tried to argue that it's tried to argue the same thing that DFS sites for years that tried to say they weren't gambling were arguing. But the simple fact is Major League Baseball is going to embrace this, and I don't think it's particularly hypocritical when you look at how they've handled other things in the past, because I think that the Pete Rose case is completely different. I think allowing the public to gamble freely on sports is different than having somebody intimately involved in the outcomes of games. And I hope personally that the salary some of these guys making inures them from even considering the possibility of shaving points in basketball or in baseball throwing games. I hope that the one thing that would really cause this house of cards to fall is, I hope that doesn't happen. But I think you'd be naive to say that it's not more realistic and likelier with more widespread gambling, and to ignore that problem and to ignore some of the societal ramifications of what gambling has, I think would be ignorant too. I just think in the end, the benefit that it brings to society outweighs the detriments, which are clear.
Do you think baseball would be so warm to the idea of what legalized gambling can do for interest in it that they're going to actually make, hearing people talk about kiosks on the concourse level at 30 major league ballparks, you think that's viable, Jeff?
I think that at some point, I'm not going to say in the not too distant future, I think it's going to take a while. I think it's going to take a while because I think the way this goes is that it happens somewhere and they start making money and other teams embrace it. And then there's a scandal and everything gets pulled back and they're like, we went too far. Okay, we've waited enough time. And then everyone just jumps in full bore. I think it's inevitability that it's going to happen, because what's the one constant, guys, in Major League Baseball? It's that they do everything they possibly can to enrich the value of the franchise and the franchise owners. Major League Baseball has been doing this, for the entirety of their existence. And the commissioner is not in place to run baseball. The commissioner is in place to enrich owners. And it's why they're trying to take this the integrity fee, they call it, which is a laughable thing, but they're trying to get a 1% rake on all of the money that's out there, which is absurd. But you know what? Good for them for trying that hustle, because 1%, that's $500 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it.
I bet you they get 0.25%.
It would just be...
It pays for Jason Hayward.
Yeah. it would just be so disingenuous, because like I understand what you're saying, that more gambling, more opportunity for corruption. But when Tim Donaghy was fixing NBA games in the NBA, he wasn't walking into Caesar's Palace and placing 10 grand on the Lakers, right? Like he had organized crime contacts and he was doing it illegally. Like if I'm fixing games and I'm shaving points, why would I make that wager legally if I could make it illegally?
I think because there's still a number of people out there for whom the threshold of doing activity that one might call illicit is legal versus illegal. I know people who are likelier to gamble now because it's legal than they would otherwise.
No, of course, of course. More people will gamble, Jeff, but the people who are willing to shave points, like I don't know that, gambling's legal, so now I'm going to do this really illegal thing off of that, right?
Yeah,
that, there's a disconnect there.
No, I understand what you're saying, but the more people that are involved in something, the likelier it is that one of them turns to something else. I get what you're saying, but I think that to try and argue that the larger pool of people you have, the same amount of likelihood of illegal activity, I just don't think that's I think that's sort of disingenuous as well. And I think that looks past the reality of human nature.
I just don't think the leagues right now, like there's enough money being gambled right now that there, and if we were going to do this and say that now there's an integrity fee because it's legal, well, then every World Series and every Super Bowl and every NBA Finals game in the past has been thrown into question.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think it's ridiculous that leagues are trying to do this, but it's a very clever way of trying to shroud their greed in benevolence. Like, I respect the hustle, man. It's a bunch of crap, but I respect the hustle nonetheless.
Fair enough. Do you think Robinson Cano is going to make the Hall of Fame now?
You know, I almost wrote about this last night. I do. I think that over time, and Robinson Cano is not going to retire for another 5 years, probably. So that gives us a 15-year grace period between now and when he is going to have his last year on the ballot. I think over those 15 years, there are going to be enough guys who have PEDs on their resume who are in the Hall of Fame that voters are going to sit there and say, you know what, if this guy's in, I can't keep this guy out because he had a Hall of Fame career. Now, the difference between Cano and some of those other guys is he's got the positive test. And I know some intelligent people out there for whom that is the threshold. If you test positive, then that means you used. But I can't separate the guys who tested positive from Barry Bonds. Like, come on.
Right.
Everyone freaking knows Barry Bonds used, and in all likelihood, used way more than Robinson Cano ever did. And you're telling me that you can vote for Bonds because he didn't test positive? Because this state-sanctioned drug testing program that in reality catches probably a fraction of the guys who are using, that somehow becomes the arbiter for ones who should or should not be in the Hall of Fame? I just can't get on board with that logic.
Something about that size 8.5 hat that Bonds was wearing the last couple years of his career that kind of gave it away.
But Barry Bonds, superstar.
Barry Bonds was a super duper star. I will agree with you on that.
Like, honestly, based on your metric from earlier, Jeff, not to do the whole thing again, I wrote down three. A-Rod, Jeter, Bonds.
Griffey.
Okay, yep, Griffey. Four.
Beyond that, like, dude, there are not a lot. There aren't a lot. And
yeah, that's the list.
I mean, is Clemens? Any pitchers in there? Yeah, Clemens, Maddox, Johnson, Pedro, like those are the only four that you would probably consider for that.
Yeah, I don't.
I'd consider baseball Pedro. A long time ago. The problem with baseball is it's very simple. And Danny, we have talked about this for years. Going back to Kansas City, we talked about this all the time. Football, you're a star if you are a quarterback who's even halfway decent, or if you're somebody who's got a ton of personality, because football is the most watched game because you make relationships with football players going back to college because you've known them for years before they reach their peak. Basketball is a very star-centric game. You know, individuals can win basketball games. Baseball just doesn't have any of those elements in place to build superstars the way that other sports do. And on top of that, baseball is a sport that almost actively discourages players from being seen as superstars because then they're seen as above the team. And that's the very last thing you want to be inside of a clubhouse where you're spending 162 games a year, 8.5 months of the year with these guys who you want to just be seen as an equal with. And you need to have the desire to be a superstar to be a superstar.
Poof. That's deep.
Put it on the t-shirt now.
Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. Good stuff. As always, the text line is mad at you because I think the main takeaway here is you hate Chris Bryant. We will talk to you next week, Jeff.
Not nearly as much as I hate you, Danny. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.